It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
Fourth and final hour on this Monday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's head over to Clarksville. Let's bring in the AD over at Austin Peay. The Governors kicked off the college football season. Got a chance to watch them on ESPN on Saturday night. A tough loss against Central Arkansas. Gerald Harrison now joins us. Gerald, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, but I'm telling you, that's a great – you brought me down. The music,
I know.
The music had me kind of going, and I was really excited. And it's like, yeah, and they lost. And I was like, oh, I remember that now.
And heartbreaking fashion, too. I mean, that was a fun finish. Yes, it didn't get – you guys didn't get the results you were looking for, but, man, what an exciting finish after you guys had just taken the lead.
Yeah, it's one of those things that are you not entertained? That
right.
Game had some of everything that you wanted in it, and a great finish. The last 4 minutes and the first 10 seconds were about as exciting as it gets in college football.
For the role that you're in, how interesting was it behind the scenes leading up to this game? Because you guys, like I said, you had the eyes of all the college football fans. You guys were the game. You're watching. If you wanted some college football for this season, you got it Saturday night, so all eyes were on your product. But how about behind the scenes? Everything that had to be discussed leading up to this game, what was that like?
Interesting. Is one word. I was scary, nervous. I mean, our anxiety level was high. I mean, there's so many things you got to plan for and anticipate. To your best of your ability. We had to practice and tell our team how to be on the sideline. We had to change the way we normally travel, how we eat our meals in pregame for our student athletes. And then, you know, we're restricted amount of people in the stadium. So we had to manage your donors and your fans who used to being able to do whatever they want to or show up when they can't, they can't. There's just so many different factors that went into it, testing and the protocols. That made it a tough day, tough couple weeks, but the result really, minus the game itself, was awesome. I was really proud of our student athletes and our staff and what we got done.
So as we sit here on Monday afternoon, what has been the feedback from your coaches, their staff, and the student athletes, as you mentioned? What's been the feedback from that experience Saturday night?
Well, you know, Saturday night after the game, I had a couple student athletes pull me to the side and told me, they said, "Miss Harrison, I've never had as much fun playing football as I did today." And I couldn't understand it because we lost. But then when I thought about it, you start thinking about what these young folks have been through over the last several months, and their world has changed. What they do, like, we go back to work, you know, and we go back. Those guys, they feel like their job is going to school and playing football, and they haven't been able to do much of either of those. So they were just relieved to be out there, and they had fun. They didn't worry about the mask or whether the person across from them were doing the same protocols that they did. They just wanted to play the game. And I think our coaches wanted to coach, and I remember Coach Loving saying he forgot his mask was on after the game started. You know, pregame, he was all pulling it and pulling it. He said that once the game started, it was just about the game, and you coach it like you normally do. So those comments alone made it worth all the work that went into getting that game done.
Now, this game against Central Arkansas was down in Montgomery, Alabama. You said that you had to change up some of your normal travel schedule or habits. What went into that? What was different about this trip down to Montgomery?
Well, we normally we are a team that travels in three buses, and those three buses count all the administrative staff and coaches. You know, we fill it pretty good. We went with four buses this time. One person to a row, so to speak, on a bus with mask on, and our support staff didn't travel with our team outside of our athletic medicine staff. The rest of those people drove. Like, I drove to Montgomery separate, and our ticket folks and video folks, all those folks drove separately to create more space. And we, you know, so we had a 56-passenger bus that was now 28 seats. The way we do our meals were different. You know, everything was either served to you or individually wrapped or put in a situation. So we needed bigger ballrooms. Thankful to the Renaissance in Montgomery that had more space available because they're connected to their convention center. So, you know, those type of things that you don't really think about, we had to adjust to. Temperature checks before you go, you know, the cleaning of the buses and the disinfecting of the buses every time you get off of them. There's a lot of those type of things that went into traveling to Montgomery for this game.
We're talking to Austin Peay, Athletic Director Gerald Harrison here on the show. And Gerald, take us through the process here of coming to this decision. I think it had to be valuable to you to have the players come to you and say, like, you know, I had so much fun just playing. Because I would have to imagine all of the athletes who see some of their peers not getting the opportunity to play, they're thankful to get the chance. But obviously it was a tough decision, right? And a lot of the teams, you know, who are similar to you guys in the same league and everything are not playing. So take us through the process and what allowed you to say, you know, this is the thing. We're going to move forward. We may be going marching to our own drum. We're going against the grain a little bit here, but we're going to try this.
Well, once the Ohio Valley Conference gave us the opportunity to league presidents voted and said that you could play non-conference games, my next conversation was with our student athletes, and they voted like a legitimate, you know, poll vote on whether they wanted to play, and overwhelmingly they wanted to play. So once we got that out of the way, say, you guys want to be here, let's go. We gave them, just like anywhere else now, we gave them the opportunity to, those who wanted to opt out had the ability to opt out, and we had time to do that. But overwhelmingly, they wanted to play. And that once you get that, and they look you in the eyes and they vote and they say, hey, let's do it, the rest of it kind of just, let's put the work in. You know what I mean? Then it's like you're kind of jacked up and say, okay, we're going. And you just put the work in. And what we had to do was make sure that we were following all the protocols that were set up by the NCAA guidelines for resocialization and that we could do it. I mean, because it was expensive. Some people made a decision not to do it because of cost. But we're at Austin Peay, we're committed to using the resources that we had available to pay for the necessary testing and the protocols to give those student-athletes the opportunity to play. And we were committed to doing that for all of our student-athletes. If volleyball wanted to play or soccer wanted to play or were allowed to play, we were willing to do that to give those student-athletes that opportunity because that window in life is so small for them. It's easy to say give them another year of eligibility, but we all know that nothing is promised. So if they get a chance to play and want to play, let's try to get them on the field or the court or what have you.
How much have you learned, Gerald? I mean, just think about how foreign it would have sounded to all of us going into the season last year about testing or anything like this. And now I'm sure you've had to ramp up how your system is put into place. How do you test your athletes? What's my budget for it? What has that process been like? Because that seems to be the key to a lot of things, is effective testing for the athletes so that your system works and they can continue to play.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I know some words that I never knew before growing up in South Carolina and never planned on hearing. And at the University of Tennessee didn't give them to me either. So I've learned a lot from our medical people about testing and the different types of testing. You know, it takes – you're right. It does take a great testing program, and we have one, and willingness to spend the resources because it's not cheap. to get make sure you get those things back in the time period that you need them to play. But then the most importantly outside of that is it takes compliance from your student athletes. And I'll tell you, when we started back in June, you know, I think I don't know if the fear or the respect for the virus was there that it needed to be from our student athletes, but the closer we got and they actually saw a chance to play, they became very, very compliant, and they're wearing their mask and they're not going to parties. And, you know, at least if they're going to vote, yes, everybody's wearing a mask because we hadn't had those issues. But we, you know, they've taken it seriously. So it's a combination of testing plus compliance on the student athlete side that makes it the only thing that's going to make this work. And we got two games left, and I need them to follow this through, you know, until we get through to the, should we get through our fall schedule.
Gerald, what, as you look forward, I'm sure the system now that you've played a game, right? I think everybody's curious, and we've seen it on the high school level. Everybody's curious, okay, what are the effects? Because I think there's a lot of health people saying, hey, you know, you get it doesn't happen overnight. It's a couple weeks before you really know what's happening when you go through this. What are some of this? What's part of the system this week of evaluating and taking inventory? So, okay, we got through this first game, we executed what we wanted, and we're still okay. What's that process like?
Well, we begin the testing process. You know, for us, we don't have a game this week, but we're still in our normal testing protocol, and so we've been advised that if a person has been around someone who has the virus, symptoms and stuff would start showing up 3 to 4 days following. So we're starting our testing on Tuesday. For our student athletes, our coaches are going today and tomorrow, and our student athletes start Tuesday. So we should start, you know, we should start seeing results, and we'll kind of know where we are from the game and from the trip to Montgomery. So then we're still constantly doing our temperature checks every day. Before any student athlete walks in any facility, they have to be get their temperature checked and complete a screen, go through the screening with our medical staff, be wristbanded before they can come in the building. So we're continuing our normal protocols. Just we're doing our testing a little earlier in the week because during a competition week, you have to be 72 hours out from your game. For this, we're starting earlier, which go on the front end. How far away were we from playing the competition against Central Arkansas?
Gerald Harrison is with us, the athletic director at Austin Peay. So as you mentioned, two games left, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Is that going to be it? Is that set in stone? Is there a possibility we could see more? I know the spring schedule with the OVC is possible. What does it, in your mind, look like after these two games?
Well, for us, we'll play these two games and see where the NCAA shakes out on what we can do the rest of the semester. There's talk of a fall ball, spring ball type situation. I'm not sure exactly if we're going to jump into that, depending on what window or parameters they give us. We know we'll go into a 12-hour, at minimum, we'll go into a 12-hour work week from our student athletes, from a practice standpoint. You know, right now the conference is committed to playing in the spring, and we will participate in that because I believe our student athletes deserve the opportunity to defend their OVC championship, which is the reason that I did not exceed the 4-game maximum that they put out there that we can participate in. Some schools in our conference did. Are playing more games, but I didn't want to do that because I felt like this team deserves a chance to defend the championship. If you play more than 4 games, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to compete for the championship in the spring. And we didn't add an additional game because I didn't want to do that unless we played a home game, and I couldn't find a home game to put in the window that the OVC allowed us because we have to play our 4 games, up to 4 games within the first 5 weeks of the season. So technically, our season has to end on the last week of September.
From your point,
week zero.
Right. From your point of view as an athletic director, you mentioned working with the OVC and the job that they have done as a conference, but we see each conference essentially doing their own thing and having to work amongst themselves from that standpoint. Do you believe that this is a prime example, even though this is something we never saw coming, where college football, the NCAA as a whole, could do maybe a better job of working together and being on the same page, so we're not having, you know, the OVCs over here doing their thing, the Power Five or Power Three is over here doing their thing. Maybe there's a little more continuity.
No, I would love to see a united movement in college football. I think we all know that needs to happen. Now, how do you get there? I don't think people relinquish their power, and the Power Fives that have their individual piece, that I don't think that'll change much. Now, the FBS and the FCS are very different from what it takes to run them, and obviously the FBS is really not run by the NCAA at all, where the for us to win a national championship, we have to go through the NCAA structure in a playoff. So there's going to be a little bit of difference, but in a perfect world there, I would love to see a leader of college football, like the NFL has a commissioner and the NBA has anything. I think those things help. And I would love to see one person in that role leading football.
Looking ahead in your crystal ball, Gerald, college basketball, obviously very important in the OVC and for Austin Peay. Where are we on that from your standpoint as we get a little closer to the fall in college hoops?
Well, I think, college basketball will happen. The date that it'll happen, I'm not sure. I'm thinking this from the conversations that I've been hearing and targets that people like. It'll be somewhere around the Thanksgiving time, which starts a little bit later and will affect the non-conference schedule a little bit. I think it's how football goes will have something to do with that a little bit early, especially the first couple weeks to see, what we can learn from there. But everybody needs to get used to there being modifications in live sporting venues. I don't think that anybody that I've talked to is planning on having a full arena for any sporting event. We're already making plans here in the Dunn for reduced capacity and kind of trying to create a little bit of a bubble on the floor level. Versus what we traditionally have with people right on top of you. So it'll look differently, but I don't see any reason why college basketball shouldn't happen. But you're also talking to the AD who just played a football game before anybody else in the country too. So I am obviously a person for trying to get people, student athletes, a chance to compete.
We're glad you did, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. and – let's wrap it up with this. You brought up, you laid out, which was very nice, Gerald, just kind of the mindset of the student athletes and how important it was to them and the coaches, and that's great. And obviously you played, you got two more to go. But I just want to ask you, let's end with just what it means to a budget, to a program, to get these three games in for a school like Austin Peay.
Well, it's huge, and there's a couple reasons that they're kind of not connected, and I'll make it quick. But when we didn't play the NCAA basketball tournament, there was a reduction in NCAA funding to every member institution school. Schools like ours lost 65% to 72% of their funding from that. So that's already one hit. Not having the spring season affects corporate sponsorships and all of that. Not having the fall definitely takes away your season tickets and the value of those. So there's a lot of negatives. So there's an opportunity, like we had with adding the Pittsburgh game, to get some unbudgeted revenue, into the department. It's not just going to impact. People think you're taking it just impacts football, and that's a bunch of malarkey. It actually impacts all of the other sports, like our golf team and tennis team, and everybody else should be ecstatic that we're playing Pittsburgh, because that money, the majority of those resources after expenses will go back to the department to support those non-revenue sports and give them the opportunities that they needed to see. So those games, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh for us, are, lack of a better word, huge.
We really appreciate the visit. We enjoyed watching on Saturday night. Best of luck the other two games, and we will certainly talk to you down the road.
Thank you guys for having me, and let's go, Pete.
All right, that is Gerald Harrison, who is the Austin Peay Athletics Director, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back. More to discuss here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.